What we're adventuring into as we started 2020 last month is that our first Sunday of the month is kind of just a mosaic expression of some of our leadership here at church. And it all revolves around this little bookmark, which I hope some of you have tucked away in your Bible. If you haven't grabbed a bookmark from us, we want to make sure you get one. There's some up on stage. You can grab one after church. There's some spread out in the room. But these are our five prayer initiatives that we're praying for this year. And so what we're doing this year on our communion Sundays is just giving us an opportunity to examine them, to keep them before us, both as prayers, but also as expectations. And so on this little bookmark, a couple words that I'd love for you to write down are the words revelation, say that with me, revelation, activation, and participation. Because what good is revelation if it never turns into anything, right? We've got all this revelation about who Jesus is, but how is it transforming our life? Well, that's that activation part, the activation of our faith. It's that hope floats that Josh is talking about. It's that willingness to get dressed and get ready and come out and join others on a Sunday morning, and we call it church. But then there's this participation part where, Lord, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to go do it. And that's our hope this morning, is to, again, just keep these things before you in such a manner that as you pray them out, as we're praying them out this year, abiding in love, reigning in life, this idea of leading with joy and cultivating a vision. Sorry, I'm stumbling over these thoughts because I'm still trying to get them into my vocabulary, and launching a legacy, that these just aren't things that just kind of float out there, but they begin to impact us. And some of us are in different places. Some of us really are connecting with what Victoria said this morning during worship, so beautifully said, about that nature of love, and that's where you're at. But others of you, you're in a place where God is really outpouring and giving you a vision and just asking the Lord, what do I do with this? How do I take this and move with it? And so this morning, we're going to start off with Shelley Ulmer. Would you guys welcome Shelley Ulmer this morning? And she's going to kick us off this morning by going after abiding in love. And again, if you don't have the bookmark, you can grab it after service. Come and find it up on stage or in the back. But let's just get going and see where the Lord takes us this morning with this.
Good morning, church. This morning, I started getting blown away by God's love as soon as Jeff started giving the call to worship. It's just amazing the way that God loves us. And I just want to start off by saying, you know, loving is kind of hard if we try to do it by ourselves, but we don't. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the things that we're going to talk about today are for you, even if you, oh, sorry. Is that better? I'm sorry. I'm not used to this kind. Thank you. Okay, so these promises are for you. Even if you say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, He wants you to know Him. So everything that you're hearing today, if you haven't experienced it, don't think you're left out. That just means that you get to get all excited and come along with us on this wonderful ride. So let's get started. Like I said, it's really hard to love people. And to love people with that ridiculous, over-the-top, generous, impossible love that God has for us, the only way we can do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because John tells us that God is love. So that means everything he's doing in love. He created in love. He still creates in love. He judges in love. He rules in love. And he is our ruler. Because the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we accepted God as our sovereign, and we changed our citizenship. We're no longer citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven, living in a foreign land, and that's a totally different thing than just being somebody who shows up at church. So, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become citizens of heaven. And we know this because Paul tells us this in Philippians 3:20. And that means that we willingly follow the laws of heaven while we also follow the laws of this earth. And the laws of heaven are more binding and more important to us than anything on this earth. And I want to talk to you about the preeminent law of heaven. And that preeminent law, the law that trumps every other law, is love. Well, Shelley, now, how do you know that? How does she know that? Oh, my goodness. It's not because I'm so smart. It's because Jesus told me that. He told me that in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, when an expert in the law challenges him and says, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first, the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. What's the second commandment? Come on, church. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say, all the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. Wow. The law and the prophets hang on this. When Jesus says heart, soul, mind, he doesn't mean that you need to think, okay, you know, I got to think about God. I got to put him in my heart. I got to do all this. No, what he's saying is every part of what makes you, you. You love your God. You love God with that. You love God with your whole self. And that might sound hard, and it would be without the Holy Spirit. And the focus of our Christian love, first of all, Jesus tells us, is to be love of God. Matthew 22 tells us that God isn't interested in a sterile kind of passive love. He wants that ridiculous over-the-top love relationship with you that he's holding out, and he's not satisfied with anything less. But thank God, I'm not going to be satisfied either. But here's another thing. If you don't love God like that with your heart, your soul, your mind, then you can't really obey him, because that's what he's saying when he says that the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Loving God and loving others is what enables us to keep the other laws, to keep his commandments, to go after his heart, and to be in relationship with him. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that every single sin that I've committed, and I have a list, every single sin that you've committed, at its root, it stems from this simple thing, a failure to love God the way that we should. We don't have to be ashamed of this. We just have to acknowledge that when we slip up, we need to get on board and love God even better. So we need to love other Christians, because John says that if you love your brother, then you abide in the light. That's 1 John 2:10. And if I shine my light on you and you shine your light on me, then together we become a beacon, and we can love each other. We can build each other up. We can have a grand old time in this building. But that's not enough. We're going to take that light, and we're going to go out into the streets, and we're going to spend that love on our neighbor. And our neighbor, according to Jesus in the parable of the Good Samaritan, is who? Our neighbor is every single person we might encounter. But we're going to go farther. It's like, but wait, there's more. We get to love our enemies. God is going to give us the supernatural ability to go after these people with our whole heart and to just love them, to heap burning coals of love on their heads until they can feel the love of God just radiating off of us like a fire. That's what God wants us to do. That's the kind of ridiculous, over-the-top relationship we have. So in John 15, Jesus talks about abiding. He talks about abiding. We can't hang on to this love unless we're connected to the source, unless we're plugged into the vine. But when we abide in Christ, that does something to us, because that love is actually the credentials that mark us as citizens of heaven. Though that is our passport that says citizens of heaven. But when we are not abiding in love, we lack the proper credentials. And that's a scary thing. Paul says we're ambassadors of heaven in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We're ambassadors of the anointed ones. We carry the message of Christ to the world. That means we are a delegation sent to represent the kingdom of God right here on earth. That's our job. Okay. So if we're ambassadors, this building is an embassy. This building is an embassy. And it's good for us to come here as a united community and build each other up, because our mission is out there in that foreign land. We're going to take it over. We're going to love people into the kingdom. So just so you remember this, abiding in love makes you a representative of the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And abiding in love means recognizing that God has called us to a life of love. That's our highest calling. Now, you're going to hear a lot of things about who you are. People are going to say things about you. So I just want to speak something over you, and then I'm going to turn this microphone over, even though I feel like I could keep going all day. 5 minutes to talk about love. Come on. Okay. So let me tell you who you are as an embassy of heavenly places, an ambassador of heavenly places. First of all, Echo Hills Church. I want you to remember, you are sons of God, even me. The Bible says in Philippians that I am a son of God, praise the Lord. You are priests and kings. You are a priest and a king. You are loved and chosen. And get ready for this, Echo Hills. You are an ambassador of love. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Shelley. The hope is that you hear things, the Spirit triggers things, and it just aids in your praying. So let me ask you a question. What do you think of when you think of a mortuary? What do you find in a mortuary? Death, right? Well, what do you find at a daycare? Cheerios stuck to the wall. Boogers on the mirror. Come on. I mean, you find life. You find activity. In a mortuary, there's a sterileness and a silence that exists because it's a place of death. And when we talk about reigning in life and the idea of we are called to reign in life and we're praying for reigning in life mentalities, what we're saying is that, Lord, the sterile nature of being absent from you, the nature of death, the sin and death that has entered the world through disobedience, Lord, you've delivered us out of that and brought us into a nursery. You've brought us into a daycare. You've brought us into a place where there's abundance of life. And if you've ever been in a daycare, if you've ever looked at kids in a daycare, if you've ever helped out in children's church, how many of you know that there is a noise, there's an activity, there's a movement that is just consistent and constant? And it is beautiful when the Father looks at it. Now, if you have a little bit of OCD and control issues like I do, you want every kid to be in line. You want every kid to be perfect. You want every kid to sit quietly and listen. But do you know that our Father doesn't have an OCD complex? Come on, he doesn't have a control issue. He has a love issue, just like Shelley said. And he wants us to abide in that love, but he wants us to come to this place where we understand the value of reigning in life. And what's it mean to reign in life? It means to understand your domain. That embassy, that nature of being an ambassador, that place that you've been called to, whether it's your family first, whether it's your home and your neighborhood, or it's the workplace, that domain you've been given all authority over. And you need to learn how to exercise that authority. And so as we pray for this idea of reigning in life to become more profound and activated and become greater participants of it, what we're really asking the Lord to do is help us to understand how I fit where you've sent me, how my gifts and my calling are meant to work here. Because I get it. There are times and places where you feel like, man, I am the odd duck. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know. Some of you, I don't know why I visited Echo Hills Church this morning, but I'm here. I don't know why I have the job that I have. I've prayed for years to get out of it, but Lord, you just keep me here. What if it's because he wants you to see that domain as a place where his kingdom comes and his will is done? And that you are the access, that you are the living being that God has planted there to reign in life in such a manner that everybody else begins to reorder what they believe life to look like. Pastor Mike last week challenged us to raise the standard of faith and hope. Raise the standard of love and make that the new standard. Not the programs, not the times, not the circumstances, but faith, hope, and love be our standard. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm just going to give you a couple minutes, and then Josh is going to take over with the next one. But I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want you to turn to two or three people. And this is a Mosaic Sunday, and so we're interacting. But I want you just to pray over them, that they'd have a revelation about the domain, the area. Yeah, go ahead and stand. You might not know that person. You don't have 10, 15 minutes to pray. So if you're a long prayer or super interceder, we will cut you off. I apologize. No offense. But I want you to look upon this other person and see them as an ambassador of Christ and bless them that way. But then to also bless them, you don't have to, this is not a prayer request time. You're just going to release a blessing. But bless them in the domain that they've been called to, in the area of influence they've been called to, that they're going to reign in life. And so speak that revelation over them. Activate their faith. Be a participant to say, Lord, bless them as they reign in life. Thank you, Jesus. Go for it. Yes, Lord. Amen. Come on. I know some of you are still praying. Thank you. If I could just get your attention and repeat this after me. I declare that Jesus has been given all authority in the heavens and on the earth and even under the earth. I share in the spoils of his victory. Because of this, I have the honor of enforcing his victory and revealing his triumphant return as I reign in life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I overcome with the word of my testimony. And there is no power in heaven or hell that the enemy could use against me and the life I've been called to live. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What Jesus builds shall not be overtaken. For I am a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. The kingdom will advance. His church will be built. And we are a victorious, beautiful bride who reign in life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a seat.
Oh, man, this is just way too fun. They let me talk about joy. Okay. All right. Well, hey, first and foremost, I want to tell you this. Joy is a choice. In fact, why don't you repeat that back to me? Joy. Yes. Come on. And you know what? If you're not convinced of that, let me read you a couple scriptures here really quick. So Psalm 2:4 says that the Father sits in the heavens and he laughs. Now, the part of the scripture I didn't tell you about was, why is he laughing? He's laughing because all of the world leaders are conspiring against God. They're conspiring against what he wants to do in the earth. And instead, what does he do? He laughs. Have any of you ever seen a movie where someone has taken out their very best? It's usually on the hero in the movie. And it's like, that's their very best, like they don't have any more. And then there's that moment where that person just laughs, and it totally deflates everything they've just done. This is what God is doing. The world gives him their very best effort. And just when they think that they've done something substantial to stop God, he laughs. It says in scripture, that word is that he mocks them. His laughter mocks them. That's your very best? That's all you've got? Oh, man. I love that. Okay. So it's in the midst of something. Joy coming in the midst of something. Let me read this. This is Nehemiah 8:10. It says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Now, in Nehemiah, the context is that the Israelites haven't been in Jerusalem for 150 years. There was a siege by a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he just blasted and destroyed the entire city. So in the book of Nehemiah, his job is to rebuild the city. And as they rebuild the city, they can begin to rebuild the temple, and life can come in. Israelites can come back into their homeland. So that's the context for this. And it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we get that scripture. God is building up walls. He's making you strong. Does anybody need strength? You need joy. That's the answer. If you need to get strong in the Lord, you need joy. It's who he is. It's his nature. And it comes in the midst of circumstances. Are you hearing this? That's good. Okay, Hebrews 12:2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Scorning its shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne. What is this about joy coming in the midst of some kind of circumstance? This one actually says, in the midst of the circumstances that Jesus walked and was crucified on our behalf, it was actually joy that enabled him to do that. Of all the things you could say, it didn't say his mighty power, his majesty and might, his glory. It was joy that was set before him that caused him to endure the cross. You need joy. The next one is James 1:2. Anybody of you ever read this one and be like, I don't even know if I believe that, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Joy in the midst of trial. Are you guys picking this up in scripture? Wherever there's joy, there's always some kind of trial or struggle, because joy is a choice. We don't just get happy. I mean, there's things that we try to take that make our life happy, but joy comes in the midst of circumstances. It's how it's designed. It's how it works best. I love this scripture. This is from Psalm 23:5. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and you make my cup overflow. Jesus is not about not making messes. We just talked about, well, we use the terminology poop in the barn, but if you have a cup, Jesus doesn't stop when you get to the top. He just keeps pouring. He just keeps going. You're like, Lord, that's wasteful. You said something about being a good steward, and he just keeps going. Come on. And it's in the presence of your enemies that your head is anointed. In the presence, meaning there's a table that's set and there's crazy things that are going on around you, and he wants you to sit right in that place and let your head be anointed and let him overflow your cup. Come on, that's the word of the Lord for you. You need joy. You got to have it. This week, the Lord reminded me, again, some things that just things that we've talked about over the years, but he reminded me that you become what you behold. You become what you behold. So if you need joy, you need to spend time with joy. Here's the cool thing. I didn't tell you to spend time with a word. I told you to spend time with a person, because joy is a person. It's not a thing or an emotion or a feeling. It's a person. So spend time with the Lord and let him fill you. One of the things is I'm kind of maniacal about this, and my wife and I are designed different ways. God bless the Lord for doing that. She's more detail-oriented than I am, and I'm more of a big-picture kind of guy. And I think one of the things that helps me out is I'm maniacal about seeing things from a large perspective, and this helps me stay in joy. I'm just going to tell you, being able to see the world that way is helpful, because then I don't have to sweat the little tiny details. But there are things in my life that make me feel like I'm right up against the thing I'm looking at, and I can't pull back and get a big picture perspective. Can anybody connect with that thought? You're at work, there's a task, there's something, but it feels like it's right in your face, and you can't pull back and get a large picture of it, right? But here's the thing, you become what you behold. So as we spend time with Jesus, he just continues to pour out joy. The picture I got was, is anybody like cookies in this place? Come on, hot chocolate chip cookies. One of the things he loves to do as you spend time with him is he likes to mix in the butter. The butter, that's got to be something delicious. What spiritual attribute can we give butter? It's delicious. It's right up there with bacon. But butter, the butter is like the goodness of God. And then the flour of God's word. And then the sugar of his sweet presence. And the chocolate of glory. Come on. And he's just doing this work in your heart. He's just stirring up joy. He's just baking joy cookies in you the whole entire week as you begin to just feast on him and begin to just connect with his heart. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to have joy that you can eat. Okay? The last thing I want to share with you, there's so much in scripture by this, but this is a core value, is that we need to stay fascinated by Jesus. We need to stay fascinated by him. Through the years and the seasons of life, we need to stay connected to him and be fascinated by him. He will set us free. Even if it feels like that's my path that I normally go to spend time with the Lord, it's a little overgrown. I've got some weeds that are there. Listen, right now, the Lord wants you to be strong. So it's his heart to release joy, okay? Here's what I want to do. Because oftentimes in the kingdom, it's a kind of family business. Has anybody ever known they needed prayer? And you've prayed for you. You've prayed for you. But sometimes you just need someone to pray for you. And you just feel it. Like, I just need someone that I know connected who will pray for me. So right now, in this moment, I know that we already did this. I want you to stand up to your feet. And I want you to find one person, no more than three. And what we're going to do is I want you to think just a moment what you need joy for. And tell that person, I need joy for... You could say a job, my marriage, my kids, whatever it is, just really quick. And they're just going to say, God, thank you for releasing joy right now into this person's life. Can you do that? Okay, on three, I'm sending you on a mission. One, two, three, go. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, have you been releasing joy? I can see you releasing joy. Do it quick and fast. Joy comes fast. It's good. We don't have to try too hard for it. All right. Go ahead and grab your seats. Pastor Mike is going to come up and share with us. Are you? No? Who? Jennifer. Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Jennifer is going to come up and share. So good. Yes.
Yes, I have not met you or you've not met me. I am Jennifer Pelletier. The one I get to talk about is cultivating a vision. And so one thing I just want to point out, yesterday's weather was not unusual. the gusts of wind, the really warm temperature on February 1st, stepping into something new. And so, Lord, I know that you are up to something. So I just thank you for the shift and the change that's happening in our atmosphere, in our valley. So with this and cultivating a vision, I just preparing ourselves for how do we carry something the Lord gives us. And so I'm going to take a look at Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And as we've entered into this new decade of 2020 and dealing with our vision and dealing with how we see, this is us. We've stepped into this new era of a whole decade of how we see. So I just want to declare over you that we have actually, it's this now season that is this season of beholding. It's a season of the now season. No more delays. I just wanted those things that you've been holding on to and you've been waiting to see the Lord move, I want to challenge you to start seeing the Lord moving, and that the season of delay is over, and that do you not perceive it? That I actually want to pray over our eyes and how we see. And actually, the way I want to pray over you is actual discernment. I think sometimes it's old patterns of thinking and the old ways of how we've done things. I think it's lies and I think it's deceptions that clouds us on actually how we see and how we perceive. And it's interesting, the scripture verse that kind of came to mind was when the Lord was talking to the Laodicean church in Revelations. And the Lord says, you were neither hot nor cold, but it was lukewarm. And what the Lord do? Spit it out. So I'm actually going to pray over you that you would have discernment in such a way, the way that you perceive. If it's the old thing, the old ways, the old thinking, the old patterns, the old structures, the old ways of doing things, that it would have such a taste in your mouth that you literally spit it out. Spit it out. I know. I'm going to pray that you would have this discernment, that you would start spitting out the old. Sometimes when it becomes so familiar, that's just the taste we have. This is just what I know, and this is what's familiar. The God is doing a new thing. Behold, he's doing a new whole thing. Do you not perceive it? That's the question the Lord's asking. Do you not perceive it? And the answer is yes, Lord, we do perceive it because we've moved into this new era, the new vision of seeing in 2020. So Lord Jesus, I'm just going to pray over you. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you for everyone that hears my voice. Lord Jesus, that you are giving them a new level of discernment. Lord, that you're bringing them up higher, new level of discernment in Jesus' name. Lord, that as they start moving throughout their day and you begin speaking to them and they encounter things, Lord, that they would discern very quickly in their mouth if this is the old way. This is how I used to think. This is how I've always thought. This is how I've always done things. Lord, I just declare now in Jesus' name that it would have such a distaste that literally you'd start vomiting it out. No longer keeping it in your mouth to go over and over, that you just start spitting things out. Nope, that's old. I'm spitting that out. That's old. When the Lord says, taste and see that is good, it's now you're going to start tasting. Oh, this is God. Behold, I see him doing this new thing. I taste it. It's the new thing. And I perceive it, and I'm going after the new thing in Jesus' name. And I declare over you, you start seeing, as you start tasting it, you've entered into God doing the unusual. God is moving in unusual ways and is unprecedented. So, Lord, I just thank you. We will be very quick to discern this is the Lord. This is the Lord. This is the Lord in Jesus' name. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you even for the wind that blew, the gust that blew. So, Holy Spirit, I just release you to blow, shake off all that needs to be shook off in Jesus' name. There'd be a release in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And here's Scott.
Yeah, we did. I got you. That's perfect. That's awesome.
I've got a testimony. So God is going to do the unusual, right? So I'd like to take what Jennifer just said and take it one step further. Everything in your past, spit it out. Not everything in the days to come, only spit those things. Everything in your past, spit it out. Last night, the Lord threw me out of my bed. Tracy, threw me out of my bed. I hit my head on the chair next to my bed, right in the back here. And I'm like, what the? He threw me out of a situation in my dream that I've been in a lot. He threw me out of it. And as I laid there, I couldn't even pray, but all I could do was open my mouth and release everything in my past that has ever hindered me in my life. I'm talking from square one, day one. I laid there for a couple hours with my mouth open, literally pretending to vomit everything in my life that has ever held me down. Jennifer, you are amazing. Thank you for listening to the Lord. The Lord is speaking to all of us. Can you hear him? Can you see him? Awaken to what he's doing. And he's going to throw you out of your bed until you get the point. You might go forward thinking, yeah, I've got this, Lord, but you might run right into a wall. He's going to say, no, no more. Let's move on. Let's step ahead. This is the time to step ahead as God's people. There has been no greater time than this. We are riding on 2,000 years of people praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. 2,000 years, we have the privilege of riding on those prayers. And this is hallowed ground. This is holy land. We've been placed here for such a time as this. And that's just a testimony I want to add into it. So not only is Jennifer releasing this, but it's happening. Get rid of everything that drags you down. Now is the time to open your mouth and vomit it all out. As rude, as crude as that sounds, right? Amen. Lord Jesus, so I just pray, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand, Lord. Just give us courage to vomit up everything that holds us down. Everything that's ever been said to us, every person that's ever put their thumb on us, every tragedy we've walked through, Lord, we vomit it up now. And we lay it at your feet, and we lift up that cup that Josh talked about, and we allow the overflow of who you are to fill up the reservoir. That was the thing as I was praying last night. It's like, now fill me up, Lord. Fill me up with everything that you are, Lord Jesus. Fill me up with who you are, Lord. Replace the damaged goods with your goods. Amen? Amen.
Jesus. Little spontaneous Scott Trotter. That never happens. Not. Dude, thank you, Scott. That's so good. I was supposed to talk about legacy, but like he nailed it. So it is. It's 2,000 years of prayer being released that God's will would be accomplished on earth. Isn't that amazing? That's so good. Scott, thank you. So good. So here's what we're going to do. Can I get the ministry team to come up? That'd be awesome. We'll get the ministry team to come up. If there's something that you felt like this morning, here's one of the best ways to use the prayer team. You're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to come get prayer. I don't know if it makes sense for me or not. If you felt like there was anything that was spoken this morning that you're like, yes, I want that in my life, that is one of the things that the ministry team is here for. We would love to pray for you. We're going to pray for a few minutes, and then we'll send you out. Because one of the things that's really fun is you get revelation, activation, which is what we're doing here. But then there's participation, where you get to walk it out in your daily life this week. And we want to see you. We want to see you reign in life. We really do. You were designed to reign. So come and get prayer from one of our ministry team leaders. We want to just to bless you this morning. Oh, also forgot a couple things. If you have an issue in your right tricep, or if you've got sinuses, that was another thing that God highlighted this morning. Or if you're dealing with anxiety, like a restless mind, it keeps getting stuck on and you can't get it to turn off. We just felt like those were a few things that God was highlighting this morning. So if that's you, we just encourage you to come up this morning and get loved on and get some prayer. Other than that, oh man, what an awesome, awesome Sunday this was. Thank you. And go whatever team you want to go today for the Super Bowl. And we love you guys so much. So have a wonderful Sunday and come up and get prayer. Bless you guys.